Do you mind? We're playing through. Here's Froggy, Brian Golf, and Wacker.
Welcome to another edition of the Playing Through podcast on Twitter, at Playing Through. You can also reach us on Twitter, at Froggy Radio for me, at Brian Wacker 1 for Brian Wacker, and at Brian Golf on Instagram, B-R-Y-A-N. So here we are, another tournament in the books. Good morning, Brian Wacker here with me.
Good morning.
And Brian Golf on the road today, somewhere in Orlando, which is kind of like Golf Town. He may be playing golf, and he's just not telling us.
If I was a betting man and we just came off the Super Bowl, which, by the way, I love the Eagles and the over.
Yeah.
I would put my money on Brian being on a golf course while we're stuck in the studio recording a podcast.
Real quick, you mentioned the Super Bowl. What a game last night, right? I mean, at one point, Eagles winning almost the entire game. Then, of course, Brady pulls a Brady.
Right, does what Brady does. Yeah.
And they're winning by one. And at that point, you think, here we go again.
Yeah. And amazing, by the way, that ends, for all intents and purposes, with Brady getting stripped. The Eagles, of course, recovering the fumble.
Right.
Take the field goal. But Brady losing a ball in that moment, 16 years after, of course, the infamous Tuck rule. Long time for karma to come knocking. But
it really did.
Yeah. A little bit of karma there, maybe.
So here we are, Waste Management, Phoenix Open in the books. So much to talk about. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with the guy who won the tournament. I always like to do that first.
Right.
I mean,
agree.
Gary Woodland, first win in 5 years. Obviously, this is a story for anybody who doesn't know that goes far beyond the bounds of the ropes or just winning on tour, just winning for the first time in 5 years. For a guy who's pretty talented, you know, his story's well documented. Him and his wife lost one of their infant twins in a miscarriage last year.
Right.
And, of course, if anybody was wondering, after the victory we saw him point skyward, you know, following the win, that was a tribute to losing one of his two twins.
So that was an awesome, awesome win for Gary. But we've had another week with another playoff.
Another playoff. Four in a row now.
Is that a record?
You know, I feel like I should know this, but coming off Super Bowl Sunday, you'll have to forgive me.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, I don't know if it's a record or not, but I think one reason that it happens is, look, we've got big fields, right? And there's not a lot of margin between those guys.
Yeah.
Most weeks. And so when you get into these big fields, you know, just statistically, right? Like the odds are you've got a better chance of having a playoff. Sure, it's still top 70 ties and so forth, but you know, the level between these guys is pretty similar for an event like this.
Yeah, so I was watching the golf tournament, and I had the split screen on because I was watching a little bit of the pregame for the Super Bowl as well. And so when Reavie hit that shot into 18 and he had pulled it a little bit to the left side of the green there, left of the pin, I saw how long the putt was. I actually flipped it over and put the golf on the small screen and was watching the Super Bowl pregame. And then sure enough, I saw him roll it in. I was like, wow, he made it.
That, yeah.
That was a great putty. I mean, it was a long putt. It was not a gimme. And it was a big old slider. He curled it right in there. And then he ended up making bogey on the first playoff hole, you know, not for nothing, but thank goodness it was a short playoff. That was the last thing the PGA Tour wanted, was a long playoff. You think if that goes long like last week went long, yeah, nobody's watching that playoff.
Nobody's sticking around for that. With all due respect to Gary Woodland, Beth Reavie, there was another, I don't know, there's something going on yesterday right around the same time that was – when that playoff ended, was in, I believe, in the rendition of the Star Spangled Banner.
Right.
And which, by the way, did anyone kneel? Was anyone kneeling?
I did not see anybody kneel. Thank goodness.
Not surprisingly, that topic didn't come up.
Yeah. No, everybody stood yesterday and showed respect as they should for the national anthem.
Let's not. Yeah.
Come on. You can stand up.
Let's stay in our lane of golf here.
You can stand up for the national anthem. I'm sorry. I just think you should stand up for the national anthem. I understand if you have your cause that you want to take care of, and you absolutely should. There are a lot of things in this country that need to be addressed. I just don't think that's the time to do it. I think there's another time to do it. That's just my opinion. But we're entitled to my opinion. Why? Because it's our podcast, so we're entitled to give
our
opinion.
Even when it's wrong, that's right.
Yeah. Right, exactly. It's my opinion, so to me it's right. But either way, another playoff, another great event. But for some reason, every single time we talk about the Waste Management Phoenix Open, It always turns to one hole. And really, the closing four holes in that golf course really are quite amazing with the par 5 15th, the par 3 16th that everybody always talks about. Mm-hmm. But then the drivable 17th that you hit three woods, you're just a little bit left, it goes in the water. If you don't think that's in play, just ask a couple guys. And then the 18th hole, which really is kind of the least of the memorable of the four closing holes, but it's still a very good hole. The way it's cut around to the right there, you got the water. They got the pews in the, you know, the grass pews in the bunker, which Phil got caught in yesterday, which kind of really stubbed his ending there. Phil really had a good run going until he made double on the last hole. But I've never been to TPC Scottsdale. I've never had the pleasure of going. I know you have been a ton of times. I know you've been to the tournament there. And I'm gonna ask you a simple question, and it's probably something that takes a much larger answer, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. Is hole 16, is it a problem? Is it becoming a problem? And what is the fix for 16?
All right, well, let's start with 16. And the way I would liken it, the way I would characterize it is that much the way J.B. Holmes was getting absolutely hammered, as he should have been, for taking 4 minutes to play the final hole.
No, he took 4 minutes to lay up.
Right.
Well, he needed an eagle to win.
Right. 4 minutes to make a decision.
To lay up.
To ultimately lay up.
And hit it in the rough.
Yeah.
Okay.
So much the way people sort of hammered JB, and rightfully so. Look, that was just in so many ways from gamesmanship, sportsmanship, to just the fact that it took 4 minutes to play a shot.
Right.
Which is ridiculous. Much the way people were hammering on that, the bigger issue really from that day was the fact that it took that group 6 hours just to get to that point, pretty much. So the fact that it took that group 6 hours to play the final round, I don't care how hard the conditions are, so on and so forth, they'd fallen behind more than a hole, several holes before that. So much the way JB kind of became the face of that issue, the larger pace of play issue, I think 16 is the face of the larger issue in Phoenix in that event, is that overall, look, it's a party. People are there for the party.
Oh, for sure. On Saturday, 216,000 people. Now, I did hear that they don't have a way of actually scanning how many people are in the gates because they don't scan tickets, which to me seems odd. I've been to Doral. I've been to the Honda Classic. I've been to, there's plenty of other golf tournaments I've been to, and they always make you scan a ticket, so I don't quite understand that. But their way of determining this 216,000 number that they gave us on Saturday is they divide how many cars were parked, and they suggest that there's four people per car. So I think the number's probably a little high.
Yeah, no, there's no question it's inflated. I mean, in all of these large-scale crowd numbers generally are. Look, I'm a huge Chicago Cubs fan, and when they won the World Series in 2016, it was madness in Chicago.
Right.
And they said 5 million people attended the parade. I have a hard time thinking
right.
that more than double the population of the city of Chicago attended the parade.
Right.
So, you know, look, that said, let's get back to 16 and to your original question, right?
Whether so is it a problem?
Is it a problem? I think the bigger problem, it's a problem in that it feeds the bigger problem. I don't think, you know, look, I sent out a tweet about this the other day, on yesterday, in fact, Sunday. You know, look, we get it. 16's loud. It's been that way for a while. It also does zero in terms of growing golf other than booze sales. You know, at this point, to me, it's just become a little unoriginal because it was a novel gimmicky stunt. I like the concept of it because it's an otherwise mundane par three with really nothing distinguishing about it.
Right.
And the fact that guys have to play it in that environment and play it amid the noise and they sort of, you know, raise the energy level, that's great. But I think it's spiraled into something which is a bigger problem. Look, when you've got Ricky Fowler complaining about getting heckled in his morning round earlier in the week.
On Thursday.
Right. And when you've got Jordan Spieth running into issues. And look, these guys can have rabbit ears, no doubt. But I've seen it. I've been there. It's people are there to
is
party.
Is it out of control?
Yeah. I mean, out of control is, you know, it depends on your definition of out of control, I guess. But the point is, people are there to people watch. They're there to drink booze, hang out with their friends. Some people take it to the extremes.
Oh, I was watching.
And that's kind of the problem is we've, and I don't want to turn this into a societal issue, but we've turned into a nation of extremes in a lot of arenas. And this is just another case of it.
For sure.
Where you've got people just, they couldn't care less about the golf the other 51 weeks a year.
And that's exactly it. I was watching, I believe I was watching Golf Channel. I think maybe it was Aaron Overholzer. I don't remember who it was. He said, there are a large percentage of people here who don't even know there's a golf tournament going on, and they don't even care that there's golf. They know nothing about golf. It's a social event to go to in Phoenix every year. It's where everybody's going, and they just go there, and they don't know the first damn thing about golf.
Yeah.
And it's not, and that is not growing the game.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. Look, I'm going to read you an excerpt from a story I wrote last year from spending the entire day at 16, I believe it was, it might have been Friday.
It was a Friday. I remember speaking to you.
It was the Friday.
It was a Friday. It was a Friday. And because Saturday is generally the real shit show, correct?
Well, no. So it might have been Saturday. It was one of the two. I believe maybe it was Saturday that I spent the day doing this.
I know that Saturday is usually just. I mean, this year they said there were people lined up at 4 o'clock in the morning. When they opened the gates, they showed people running.
Yes.
Full sprint running to just hope to get a seat on the 16th stadium hole.
Yeah. No, I was there and I was there before the gates opened. And when they opened the gates, it was a stampede to get to 16.
Right. And so that's where
because
everybody
starts.
Because
it's first come, first serve for a lot of the seating.
And whoever can't get to 16, guess what? Those same rowdy folks spill over onto other holes. And if you haven't been there and you've even seen the overhead, and like I said, I haven't been there, but I've seen the overhead. I've seen the layout of the golf course. 15 green is right next to the stadium. Yep. So you can hear the screaming. And imagine yourself trying to putt on 15 green. You got the people screaming. Then 17 tee box is
right
just on the
it.
Other side of it.
Right behind it. And you've got people in the grandstand overlooking that. And I've seen it more than once where a guy's trying to pull the trigger on a tee shot. And, you know, a voice or two voices will rise up out of the silence. And it's just not pretty. It's just devolved, I think, at this point into something that's just become out of control. I'm just going to read you some of the highlights from last year. So I came across a group of 23 Arizona State alums. Somehow they fit 23 of them into a limo, 4:30 in the morning.
Okay, so that whole audience estimation of four people per car. So they're a little over in this one. Okay,
right. So you know, and at that point by 4:30 they're already drinking mimosas, beer, vodka, you name it. Look, fine. They have somebody else driving. Do what you want. I'm not going to sit here and judge what you do.
No worries on that.
Ran into another group of some Canadian guys who come down every year dressed as Sesame Street characters.
Right.
Good fun. They seem to be under control, acting sort of relatively normal given the circumstances or the surroundings.
Right.
Ran into some guys that were dressed as the entire Jamaican bobsled team.
Okay.
Moving in unison. Really cool.
Right.
Creative, funny.
Having a good time.
Yeah, having a good time.
No worries.
Then.
But then what about the person you told me was by the bathroom?
Then there was, this didn't actually happen last year, although it may have. It certainly could have.
Probably happens every year.
It probably happens every year, yeah. So. Talk to some police officers and come to find out that there was a young lady who was passed out about 10 feet from a porta potty. She didn't make it to the porta potty.
Right.
So that was problem number one.
Okay.
Problem number two, she was passed out.
Right.
Those paled in comparison to the fact that she had a certain, let's just say powdery substance that I don't think was powdered sugar from some beignets.
Or maybe from a waffle.
Yeah. Kind of smeared on her face. So, you know, this is the kind, the number one complaint cops said they get is people having sex in porta potties.
Really?
That's the top complaint.
At the Waste Management Phoenix Open.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you wonder why people call it the Wasted Management. Yeah.
Talk about getting in the hole.
I mean, so this is what this has devolved into, this event. And at this point,
that is a problem.
Right, and that's a problem.
It is a problem. But now, let me ask you the third.
Is 16 a problem? in that regard, I think it is.
Because it's turned it into this.
Right. It is led. It's sort of, it's certainly part and parcel with everything else that goes on there.
It's a ripple effect.
Yeah.
That's the catalyst that started this whole thing. If you go back 10, 15 years ago,
More than that, yeah. 25 years ago, sure.
But it seems that it gets worse every year. It seems worse. So I saw some of the players saying they would rather, like, for example, on Friday and Saturday when Ricky walked on the tee box, he put his hands up and was like, raise it, go, just scream. And they all said they would rather people just scream the entire time, have a constant loud noise, because then that is not something that's going to startle you in your backswing, number one. And then Ricky said, too, he couldn't hear the rude things people were screaming because everybody's just yelling. So it's a lot better atmosphere. Now, I had seen somebody else say maybe they should have walk-up music like Major League Baseball players have when Major League Baseball players come from the on-deck circle to the batter's box, they have walk-up music or whether they just play a song they like. They could also do that and have that play while they're hitting. The problem with that is like we just discussed, there's a guy putting on 15.
Green is right next to
him. He probably doesn't want to hear your Meek Mill record while he's trying to putt. And then the guy that's teeing off on 17, he's not trying to hear Metallica, Inner Sandman, while he's trying to hit his drive on 17, which is you need to drive on 17, let's be honest. If you don't make birdie on 17, you're giving up a shot to the field. And if you dunk it, you pull it a little bit left, it's going in the water. So the loudness is affecting other holes. So I don't know what the fix is. I can't sit here and say they should definitively do this, because I don't know that there is a fix. And I don't know that now that we've gone as far as we have to where we've built it up to be a giant stadium, I don't know that there's a way to pull it back without alienating people. And then the fans are going to go away.
Right. That's certainly an issue there. And to your point about whether it's a problem or not, I actually posed this question to a young player who played in the tournament, a very popular player, this morning via text message. I said, is 16 becoming a problem? And he said, no, it's fine. It just, the other holes that people go to are becoming too much. And so that speaks to your point about there's a spillover effect and a ripple effect.
They don't get drunk on 16, and then when they walk to the next hole, they're not drunk anymore. You're carrying it on.
Yeah. So
who'd you talk to? Who was that?
I think I just hit delete.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Damn. Wacker's the worst at that, by the way. Just so you know, he really, truly does talk to a lot of tour guys because he's been with Golf Digest and the PGA Tour and all this. So he's a ton of contacts. And he always says, a prominent PGA Tour player. But he won't ever tell me who it is. And I ask all the time. I'm always asking, who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Because not to sidebar, because we cannot possibly have a podcast here that
here
I don't
go.
Mention.
Here it comes.
The GOAT, T-Dub. But I remember when Tiger Woods was having one of his many comebacks, somebody had told you, not this comeback, a previous one, the one that was happening last year when things did not turn out well, Wacker had good information that things were not good and that it was smoke and mirrors, and that's the way it was, you know, it was really being pieced together and was not going to really last. And I called you out. I called bullshit on that when he played well at the Hero in the Bahamas in 2016. But you were right. So with that said, when Wacker says he just talked to a tour guy, he really truly is talking to a tour guy, but he's not telling any of us who it is.
Well, you got to protect your sources, right?
I mean, correct. I agree.
Woodward, Bernstein. I'm not. None of us are that. But you got to follow the same edicts. Anyway, look.
So Phoenix, 16 is not the problem. They expect it when they get to 16.
Yeah,
it's
they expect
everywhere
it. Look, it's not great because even there you've got some pretty boorish behavior happening.
But some players embrace it. Like John Rahm throws on the Arizona State jersey and was handing out – like the guy was handing out Pro B1s with $10 bills with rubber band around them as beer money.
And look, in the guys who come down from Minnesota with Leonard's List every year, those guys are terrific, right? And they do their research and they've got these esoteric facts on everybody who's coming through there, and they'll have a very fun and creative chants, and it's all good fun.
Right.
That stuff is great. But having spent the day there, you see some pretty boorish behavior going on in the stands. Now, look, are the players going to be affected by that or even know about it? No, of course not. They're playing their golf shots. They're not aware of what's – just like a baseball player isn't aware of what's going on in Section G, Row 43.
Right.
They have no idea.
But the PGA Tour does like to give off the golf is a family sport.
Yep.
Bring your kids to the tournament. It's a family atmosphere. And if there's dudes snorting coke over by the porta potties some chick taking it, I don't know that that really purports your family atmosphere. And so that's where they're also losing out as well.
And look, any atmosphere, the rotten few apples are always going to spoil it for the bunch. We
for
see
sure.
this all the time in all walks of life and in all sporting events.
Right.
But it's, you know, they sort of like, or a lot of people really like to sort of talk about how great 16 is for the game, how much it does for the game, and so forth. And I'm not really sure it does anything for the game because, as we've said, people are there to drink in the sun, to relax. You know, some people take it to extremes and they're there to get hammered. It's their it's a 40-year-old's guy to excuse to act like he's 19 again.
Right, but here's where I'll disagree with you is that when I turn on the television during this tournament, I always wait to see 16,
sure.
number one. Number two, when I check the PGA Tour app and I want to see how guys are playing, I'll always see how a guy did on 16. So it is affecting me in that as a fan that I do want to see how 16 did. And I'm guessing that that's only because of the stadium atmosphere.
Sure.
I'm not checking the other par threes on the golf course to see what they did. So it is having a positive effect in some form. But I think when you're there, and I think as the players go, I think it's having a negative effect. And I've even had somebody else tell me before that in the past, that's why Tiger doesn't like playing this event. He just does not want to get involved in the whole circus. And I know he played it a couple years ago, and it did not go well. I don't think he even made the cut. He had the chipping flubs. So I can see where it's having a positive effect, but I can totally see where it is getting out of control. Where do you draw the line?
Right, like, and it's a fine line, and that's the difficult part in how do you fix it? Because I agree with you, it's not like they're going to tear down the stadium. It's not like they're going to make it smaller. If anything, they're going to make it bigger and louder.
Right, so that's my question. Is it getting a little bigger every year? Because it seems like the stands get a little higher,
yep.
so they're adding more people
every year. It's certainly grown over the years. I mean, I don't know what the answer is, whether you maybe find some way to somehow limit the alcohol sales. Maybe you don't sell alcohol in the stadium.
I was talking to somebody from Budweiser. They said they start shipping beer there in November.
Oh, sure.
They start shipping beer in November because they can't ship it there enough to get enough beer there to sell it when the tournament comes. And that really is truly what it's turned into. You know, they call the Florida-Georgia game the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. I think we might have to change that. I think it's the wasted management Phoenix Open because it's all anybody's doing. If you remember, when was the Tiger hole in one? Do you remember what year that was? I don't know what year the Tiger hole in one was there.
Yeah, back now you're.
It was in the 90s.
Together,
it was in the 90s. Yeah. Okay, so in the 90s, Tiger makes a hole in one, and we've all seen it. It bounces, goes in the hole. He walks off the tee box. He's doing the raise the roof thing because that was the thing to do back then, I guess. I mean, there's a shower of alcohol. I mean, so this is
97.
This has been right. So you're talking 21 years ago. Yep. 21 years ago.
Yep.
This has been a problem for a long time. It just seems to ramp up a little bit every year, and this year was a little worse than last year. And then you know, Ricky complained, and I had wondered when Ricky complained if it was going to be worse for him on Friday, because you know how people are. Once they know you're getting to you, it's worse. It wasn't any worse for him, but. At some point, the line's going to have to be drawn. I don't know if it's next year, if it's the year after, or the year after that. But something's going to have to be done because you're starting to affect the integrity of the game.
And I suspect the tour. Look, I'm sure they look at it every year. I don't want to say they turn a blind eye to it, but you know, they would tell you that the majority are there. Enjoy themselves. There's no issues. You know, but there are hundreds of arrests made every year. You know, there's some issues there. And
for sure.
And look, plenty of sporting events have their share of issues. I don't even want to know what the streets of Philadelphia look like. And they won the game.
Right.
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 So, you know, I what's
216,000 people is a lot of people. I mean, when you really think about it, how many people go to the Super Bowl? Maybe 80, 90?
I mean, but, you know, in terms of what the fix is, you know, I just think that the whole itself has become a caricature of itself. It's, to use a phrase that has jumped the shark, it has jumped the shark.
For sure.
In my estimation, because there's just nothing that cool or that, you know, sure, it's fun to see guys in that environment hitting shots, and I have no issue with that. And you know, but to me, it's sort of run its course, or, you know, we're certainly hammered over the head with it that it's somehow great for golf and you know, helps bring in people that don't, you know, otherwise wouldn't be exposed to the game. And maybe that's true, but I don't know that it's growing the game any other than beer sales, because I don't, you know, 50, to your point, people aren't there. The majority are not there. Even as strong a field as it had this year, Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, on down the line. I mean, it had a loaded field this year.
Did Jordan Spieth make the cut?
He did not.
Oh, he did not. Yeah. I didn't think so. No. But I'm sure the girl that was on the ground with the white stuff on her nose, I'm sure she left and went and bought a set of golf clubs and took the game.
Right.
I'm sure that's exactly the effect it had upon her.
You know, it's a little like, I'll use another example, like Topgolf, which I love. I think is fantastic and a great way to bring people into at least a version of the game. And maybe you get some people, I'm sure you get some people maybe taking up the game eventually, who go through Topgolf. Does it mean that Topgolf is growing the game? I mean, it's growing it a little bit, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's exposing it to a different...
Right, but that's not really what it's there for. It's there for entertainment.
Right, it's a nightclub it's basically a sports bar nightclub with a driving range.
Right, bowling alley, whatever, which is great.
Which is great, because it is exposing the game.
Yes.
Like, for example, I could never get my wife to go to a driving range.
Right.
But if I say to my wife, hey, you want to go out for the night? We'll stop by Topgolf. And we have dinner. We hang out. We hit golf balls, whatever. So in that point, I do see your perspective of that it is growing the game. It is introducing new people. But I'm not sure how many people actually take that experience and go fully take up golf.
And I would take the next step with Phoenix in that, because it's taken on this life of its own as a party, I think that's what people are going there for. And they couldn't care less whether a golf tournament. In fact, if you were to take the tournament away and simply just open the gates, open the beer tents, and just invite everybody on the grounds and say, hey, everyone come hang out. We're going to have music. We're going to have drinks, and kept all the grandstands and literally not a single golf shot was played, I'm not sure a lot of people would really care that much.
Right.
They'd still show up.
For sure. I agree 100%. I agree. And you know what? I like the way they do it actually in Jacksonville with the Players. I like the way they have concerts and the way they do the stuff there. I feel like it's a little more – it's much more reeled in.
Yep.
And the people that are there for the golf tournament experience.
But 17 at Sawgrass still has a bit of a party vibe to it.
Right.
Still has the curiosity factor.
But those people know there's a golf tournament going on.
But those people are also there to see the golf tournament.
Right.
Different tournament. I get it. It's not an apples to apples comparison per se, but it's certainly handled in a way that hasn't really been a problem. And I think in Phoenix, you know, the more we continue to have these issues, the bigger the conversation's going to get.
All right. So this week we move on from the waste management and we go back to California to Pebble Beach. This is the AT&T Celebrity Pro-Am. It's got a really long name. So the field this week is pretty loaded, correct? I know we got a lot of celebrities. I know I saw Jake Owen was playing, which Jake Owen's going to be in a web.com event later on this year. I know Justin Timberlake's on the list. I saw a ton of celebrities playing, but there's also a lot of really good tour pros playing as well. Well,
first, let's back up. Okay, the name isn't that long. It's the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
That's the name of the tournament. Oh, that is it. Okay. I thought there was something longer than that. Okay. So it's the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, look, you're right. Loaded field. Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson. To me, the biggest name and the one I'm most curious about, Rory McIlroy.
Also, Rory's finally making his U.S. debut.
Making his U.S. debut this week. After a couple of starts in the desert, on the Desert Swing in the European Tour, where he's played really well, gotten off to a great start. Been in contention both weeks in Abu Dhabi and Dubai. Finished second last week in Dubai. And then tied for third in Abu Dhabi. And he'll be playing Pebble Beach for the first time.
Oh, really?
Playing in this tournament. And, of course, making his U.S. debut. So,
so
what are your expectations for Rory this year?
I'll tell you, my expectations are high. Higher than they have been, only because of what I've seen. Because of what I've seen so far. What I've seen so far overseas, he's played very well. He's contended. He could have easily won that golf tournament. Not this past weekend.
Abu Dhabi, the one before that. Yep.
Yeah, he could have won that.
Yep.
I do have high expectations. I think he's swinging the club well. He seems to be in a really good place. Pebble Beach, yes, I know he hasn't played it before, so I won't say that I expect a win his first time out at Pebble Beach. But now we'll see Rory this week. Will we see him at Genesis? Is he playing Riviera?
Yes.
So he's going to play 3 weeks in a row because
he's
going to play the Honda.
He's got a busy schedule, yeah.
Yeah, because then he's going to play the Honda, which is
in his backyard
in Palm Beach. So I do. I have some high expectations for Rory. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if he contended at Riviera and if he won the Honda. He's won the Honda before. It's in his backyard. I do. I have high expectations for Rory. But the only problem is when he plays the Genesis. And most likely when he plays the Honda, he's going to have Tiger Woods to go against. And you know, when T-Dub's in the field, I always have to give my man T-Dub a chance to win. Always.
Well, he did beat Tiger at the Honda.
He did.
2 years ago, if you remember that. I don't know. That was to get to number one in the world.
Yeah, that was when Tiger had that crazy Sunday round. Yep. He made eagle on the last hole. That was really a great round. And then Rory came
the question
in
is, can Rory get back? To me, the question is, can Rory get back to playing that level of golf where he was about as dominant as any of the top players in this generation?
I agree. The Rory era ended really quickly. The Rory era didn't last long. It was crazy how everything was Rory, 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 Rory. And then, I don't know if it was the equipment change when he went to Nike.
He's had a lot of noise. Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of things. You mentioned the equipment change. He had an injury.
And he had the relationship issues where he broke it off with Wozniak. And then he had all this stuff going on.
A lot of external things going on.
And then
changed management companies a couple of times.
He quit at the Honda and said it was a toothache.
Yep.
Then he threw the iron in the water at Doral. I mean, it really was a very rocky road for Rory. And so the Rory era that we thought we were going to go through, if you remember when he was just winning, 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 it really kind of ended. Like Jason Day, Spieth, and Dustin Johnson kind of put a stop to that. So I would like to see it kind of pick back up because let's be honest, Jordan Spieth has not played that well as of late. Dustin Johnson, yes, has played great. I know he's back this week at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And Jason Day's got to win. I know that last time we were here, we didn't know who was going to win the playoff, but Jason Day won in the first playoff hole on Monday last week. So you got a lot of guys that are playing well. Is Jason Day in this tournament? Is he playing the AT&T?
I don't believe he is in the field for that, but he will be in the field for Genesis.
For Genesis, yeah. So he'll be at the Genesis. So a lot of these guys are back. We're seeing a lot of guys, and you still can't.
I apologize. Jason Day is in the field.
He is in the field.
Yeah, so,
and you still can't count out Ricky. I know that it's for another time, but it's time at some point to address Ricky's inability to close out 54 hole leads. He's had six. He's closed out one. It was at the Honda. And I'm not discounting.
He shot over par in that round.
He did. And look, that's a really
hard golf course.
It's a really hard golf course. But he did win. He did close his 54 hole lead. So I won't take that away from him. And listen, he did win the Players. And that was a phenomenal ending at the Players. He got into a playoff and he stuck it on 16 in the playoff. He played absolutely amazing. The Scottish Open victory that he had. He has had some good victories, but you cannot overlook the inability to close, and we just had it happen yesterday again at the Waste Management. So I don't know if Ricky's in the field, but there are so many good players now that it's hard to pick who you think's going to win on any given week. I mean, if you gave somebody the field.
Ricky not in the field, by the way, at AT&T.
Is he in the Genesis?
I believe he
I think he is playing the Genesis. He's playing the Genesis, and he'll definitely play Honda. So, I mean, really a lot of good players in the field this week. And this is actually a fun golf tournament to watch, the AT&T Pro-Am, because you get to see a lot of guys that swing the club like we do, these celebs. And then there's some guys that are really good. Like, you get some of the baseball players that are really good that are playing. So it's a fun tournament to watch, and you're going to get a lot of the good guys, and we get Rory's U.S. debut this week.
Well, let's go back to your point about Ricky, and maybe we should have talked about this earlier, but we'll get to it now. You mentioned, you know, just the one in five mark, trying to close these 54-hole leads out. And I got to wonder at one point, look, Ricky's a very glass-half-full kind of guy, just the way he approaches it. But I want to go back to, like, I bring up last year's U.S. Open and when I wrote about this, and look, Brooks Koepka certainly grabbed that tournament by the throat.
Oh, for sure.
But by the same token, it was made easier. I mean, look, I'm just going to run through some of the numbers that day where Ricky was in contention on Sunday.
But that was not a 54-hole lead, correct?
No. I believe he was trailing at the start of the day.
He was. He was. He was not in a 54-hole leader.
He missed a 5-footer for birdie on 2, 6-footer for par on the 5th hole, 12-footer for birdie on the 12th, 8-footer for par on 15. So these are all shots that you wonder how Brooks Koepka plays, how he performs with another guy breathing down his neck.
Right, if he makes those
putts. If half of those shots go in.
Right.
So, you know, look, you mentioned Ricky's track record. He's got 6 career top 5 finishes in majors since 2014.
Yeah, I mean, that one year he finished 2nd in every major, didn't he? Or finished top 5 in all four majors.
Which, it was in 2014. Jack and Tiger, the only other guys to do that in the modern era, finished in the top 5 in all 4 majors, same year. So, but at this point, I mean, you have to wonder if it's affecting him mentally, if he's pressing too much.
Well, there's got to be some scar tissue built up there for sure. It's got to be in his mind.
And the more it happens, the more it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy where, you know, it just feeds on itself. And you wonder about Ricky's ability to close in these spots because, quite frankly, he's got a body of work now that says otherwise. Look, it takes nothing away from him. Well, it does take something away from him as a player, but he is a terrific player. But that said, you have to wonder about these situations in these moments. Look, golf is hard.
Yeah.
And I think we sometimes fall into the trap of maybe comparing, even subconsciously, everything to what Tiger Woods did in his career. He was the king of 54
right.
hole leads,
you remember,
as we know. Yeah.
Only right. one guy ever took one away from him. Right. That was Y.A. Yang at the PGA.
So, but at some point, you got to close the deal, and you got to start making putts. And we saw it again in Phoenix on Sunday where he missed some very makeable putts in the thing that was
– I mean, some that didn't even hit the hole.
Right. So disturbing was that some of those reads were off.
I mean, like 15, 16, 17 did not even touch the hole.
Yeah.
I mean, not even close. I mean, not like lipped out, like close. I mean, nothing. And, you know, a lot of times we look at these tour guys as if they're superhuman. But they're not. They're just like you and I. And if something goes wrong for you, you know, for example, let's say you're out with your buddies and you, on the first hole, you missed a little shorty, and on the second hole, you missed another shorty, and then you get to the 5th hole. I got news for you. When you get to 16, 17, and 18, it's in your mind. So if you think that's not in Ricky's mind, of course it is. And when you have coughed up 54-hole leads, you have an entire night to think about the 54-hole leads you've coughed up. It's going to come into play. And I do think that it's affecting his play a little bit. He seems to play a little tentatively, whereas if you remember when he won the Players, he was not in the lead. He came from out of nowhere, shot lights out. He was firing at pins. And I don't know that there's the same pressure, and maybe you can answer this as talking to tour players more than I have. I don't know that there is the same pressure when you're in fifth place and you got nothing to lose. If you fall from fifth to 12th because you were firing at pins, okay, yeah, you coughed up some money, but at least you were going at it. If you're in first place and you're playing safe, you're playing prevent defense not to lose. I'm friends with a lot of guys in the NFL. I'll tell you what, a prevent defense prevents one thing. It prevents you from winning is all it prevents. And I think that may be a little bit of what's going on with Ricky.
Look, it's certainly different when you're the 54-hole leader and all the eyeballs are on you.
Oh, yeah.
Because people expect when you're the 54-hole leader
to close it out. Right.
That's,
and everybody on that golf course is gunning for you, every yep. person.
And when you're coming from, I think it was six back of the players, it's a different ball game. You can play aggressive, you can be loose,
but still phenomenal. I want to make that very clear.
It was a great round.
Yeah,
but it's different than doing that. To me, anybody, I would think, obviously, doing that from behind versus doing that when you've got a 54-hole lead.
Oh, it's different. It is different, for sure.
The second one's far more impressive.
It is.
Obviously.
It is. But I don't want to take anything away from that round. That was a fabulous round. It was a big win. It's a signature win. He's always going to be a player's champion. And he's had some other good wins. It's just you can't ignore the elephant in the room that with 54 hole leads, he's 1 for 6. And that's definitely something that – and listen, if we were able to get Ricky on the podcast, I would ask him, is that in your mind? Do you think about that? Because it's something that it obviously is an issue that for whatever reason it is, whether it's a mental, whether it is having the pressure, I don't understand what it's like to stand on the tee box and have everybody gunning at you, and I get that. But that's what these guys do. And once again, like you said, everybody, unfortunately, it is unfair, but everybody in this game is somehow compared to what Tiger Woods has done. And I know that's not fair. I know we can't expect everybody else to do that, but it's unfortunate. And I got news for you. In football, for as long as we can remember, they're going to compare guys to Tom Brady. And is that fair? No, but it is the gold standard. It is the bar. And Tiger Woods set the bar. And so therefore, when you want to compare somebody, that's what you compare them to.
Yeah, I mean, look, Ricky didn't win on Sunday, and actually Tom Brady didn't win on Sunday. For a change, they both had their chances.
Right,
Tom's career is legendary.
Right,
arguably the best ever.
He is the greatest ever. He is. He's absolutely the greatest quarterback to ever play the game.
But there he is, fumbles the ball away as he gets the strip sack. So,
I mean, who's the greatest college coach that ever lived? It's Nick Saban. But he didn't win every year. Sometimes they don't win.
You know, the guy
they win more than not.
The guy before. Long before Nick Saban.
Bear Bryant. He was pretty good, too.
He was pretty good, too.
He was pretty good, too.
And I think that's where the perspective comes in. But,
right.
But look, I do think that I do wonder if the moments like this on Sunday when those putts don't drop, Ricky's a half glass or a half full glass kind of guy, but you'd have to do wonder if this is going to affect him and how he gets over it.
Right, I agree 100%. So this week, we get the AT&T. Real quick, AT&T Pro-Am, give me, just to get something different, give me two guys that will finish in the top 10.
Jordan Spieth.
Also, he's going to go from a miscut to top 10. Okay, and two?
You know, the type of place where he should play well.
Right, he's played there before.
Yeah, played there before. He's had some good performances.
And who else?
You know, look, we've seen some good performances out of Phil Mickelson lately.
Yeah, we really have. It's almost like a rejuvenated Phil. Yeah. I heard something he said yesterday, which really struck me as Phil has accepted things the way they are. He said he's never going to be a great driver of the golf ball, but if he can just be average, he can get back up there. And he's accepted the fact that that's the way it's going to be. And he's no longer chasing that swing anymore. He's just going to focus on his irons. He's always been a master of the short game. He can totally putt. If he can just keep the driver somewhere near in play, he feels like he can win again. And I think that we could see a victory from Phil this year. He looks like a different guy.
And then I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the other guy who is probably a favorite there is Dustin Johnson. He always plays well.
That's going to be my pick. Yeah, that's it.
Dustin always, like, if you're not going to get the best odds on Dustin because he's one of the favorites. But if you're just looking for a fantasy league, somewhere to play, you know, guys who are going to play well there, I would go chalk. I would look at Dustin Johnson, the guy who's won there before, Jordan Spieth, forget about the miscut in Phoenix, and Phil Mickelson, another guy who's got a great track record there.
Playing Through with Froggy, Brian Golf, and Wacker.